gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun. We know that the gospel overcomes.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, welcome into The Dean's List. Glad you're here today. Now, the truth of the matter is we try to deal with serious issues every time we come on the air. We try to teach some truth, and yet we have a little bit of fun along the way. And we may do that today in terms of the fun part, but I have to be honest with you. My heart's grieved today, and I know that your hearts are too. I think all of us are grieved, particularly in the aftermath of what happened in Paris. I guess it was last Friday now. It's over, you know, it's a week ago today. But we're still talking about it. We're still reeling from it, the terrorist attacks and the folk that lost their lives and the loved ones, of course. So we don't want to belabor that point. But what we do want to talk about is the aftermath. What we do want to talk about is, you know, how should we think about this? What do we do now? What does it look like going ahead? And I know a lot of folk, again, are talking about it. I don't want to just state the obvious, but and I don't want to just say me too, me too. I want to say some things, Christy, from a Christian perspective. Right. And this is another reason my heart is broken. I don't want to sound self-righteous. I don't want to sound like, you know, I'm right and everybody's wrong. It's not just me. There's lots of Christians. But, you know, we're right and everybody else is wrong. I'm not trying to come across that way either. But at the same time, I mean, I've got to be honest. Listen, growing up and not too long ago, I mean, years ago now, I guess. But I know exactly how most Christian Americans feel and how they think on terror and war and, you know, the American military and our response and being Republican. I know that because that's who I was for a long, 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 long time. And you heard me say the word was. Well, you know, I'm a Christian. And so I have to constantly revise my thinking and my outlook based on the Word of God. And I would love to get in a room with a bunch of pastors, for example, and let's just dialogue about some of these things. Let's be calm and let's have some serious give and take. And then let's, you know, what do the scriptures say? And then let's come out of there and you know, present a united voice on this issue. I don't think that's going to happen. There's too much emotion involved. And then, of course, everybody has their own theological position. It's frustrating to me that in this fallen world, even we pastors can't get together. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to believe it or not. You know, whether or not you're a Presbyterian versus whether or not you're Baptist, that affects the way you look at foreign policy. Did you know that?
It's true.
It really does. And then, of course, we've got my Baptist brothers who don't understand, you know, the difference between, I'm just throwing this out as an example. They don't understand in many ways the difference between Presbyterianism and Baptist, Baptistism. I'm kidding. That's just a word. We're having a little fun. But, you know, because they don't understand certain issues. Oh, well, we baptize believers. We don't baptize babies. We get that. But I don't think most pastors, Baptist pastors, know why.
Right.
Theologically. You know, all they can do, and I'm not being ugly, but all they do, they go to the scriptures and say, well, I don't see any babies baptized in the New Testament.
Right.
Well, that's actually a pretty good argument, but it's not the argument. Mm-hmm. It's not the biblical argument. It has to do with the relationship between the Old and the New Covenants.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm not one of those who says, you know, the Old Testament is not relevant today. That's ridiculous. Of course it's relevant. It's the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a dispensationalist. And, of course, I'm not saying that dispensationalists, every one of them would say the Old Testament is irrelevant. A lot of them do. But not all of them. And in particular, with reference to Israel, it's highly relevant to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they would say.
Right.
I'm not a dispensationalist. But what I am saying is that even though the Old Testament is relevant, even though the Old Testament is the Word of God, and even though there are principles for us today and there are applications for us today, I am not under the Old Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And no other Christian is either, whether they think they are or not, even though a lot of them do. And some would say, well, you're about to miss, well, they wouldn't say you're about because they don't know what I'm about to say. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to make a statement. And some would say that the statement I'm about to make mischaracterizes Presbyterianism, but it does not. And if we had a theological discussion, you know, then we'd be able to prove our point.
Uh-huh.
But Presbyterianism still believes, in some sense, we're under the Old Covenant. It really does.
Okay.
And I know you might think,
so what does that have to do with Paris?
Okay. Well, see, I'm getting off track. See, I want to be theological. I don't want to be glib.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much in my mind. It's the emotional condition that I'm in, I guess. Because, you know, I throw some things out in a 30-minute broadcast. It's not even that long. We just don't have time. But what it has to do with Paris is all of this war talk.
Mm-hmm.
All of this war talk.
And the fact that not even Christians can seem to agree on.
Yeah, that was it.
On
that we're not even going to be able to agree.
Mm-hmm. There are so many different things, opinions floating around.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to agree. Even if I were able to get some rational pastors into the room, my point with that was that there are tremendous differences theologically, even between rational pastors.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's not the problem. With a lot of the pastors and a lot of the people and a lot of what I hear on talk radio or television or reading the blogosphere, all of this is sheer emotionalism is what I'm hearing. It's not even rational thought.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm lamenting two things. I'm lamenting the irrational thought from Christians, and I'm lamenting even the fact that I don't think that rational pastors should get in the room and come away in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fallen world. Now, does that mean that I'm defeated? Does that mean that Jesus doesn't win? Does that mean that I'm going to quit? Well, no.
Mm-hmm.
Not defeated. Jesus wins. Not going to quit. We're going to keep going. All of us. And you know what? We're still brothers and sisters with those with whom we disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones that I think are rational, but wrong theology. The ones I think are irrational, still love them. Hope they still love me.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go forward arm in arm on so many other things. We just, anyway, you're like,
yeah.
Got to move on.
Well, the thing that really gets me about this situation is so often when we disagree, for example, with, you know, Presbyterians or Methodists or other denominations or even Baptists disagree on so many things, we come away and think, oh, well, it doesn't really matter because we agree on the fundamentals. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, which is absolutely true. But at least for me, what I've been noticing lately about this issue is that so many people have different opinions, but these opinions and the things that they're saying, the things that they're promoting and advocating have real life effects. It's not just a matter of, oh, I disagree with you and that's okay and we'll just agree to disagree. It's no, if one person, you know, says, for example, oh, we just need to go bomb everybody and that's their opinion. But that affects real life people. If you're going to go bomb everybody, that affects real human beings.
That's right.
Or if you're one that thinks, oh no, we just need to have peace, man, and we're all about peace and no fighting ever, then that also affects people too. And so this is a huge example of where theology actually does matter in real life situations.
Yeah.
Because the opinions that you're saying and promoting affect real people.
Yes, you are absolutely right. Thank you for saying that and kind of getting us moving into a direction. I don't know if I want to deal with your issue because we're up against a break in a couple
right.
of minutes, and so I really want to have time to deal with it, but let's just talk a little bit about the general terms of the reaction that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are lots of things. One is, okay, terrorists attack Paris. Let's go bomb Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go do this. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we got 3 minutes. Maybe we could get into your thing. Okay, well, what happens? We do that. And then they come back, bomb us,
mm-hmm.
attack us. There are already plots underway. We've been told. more attacks planned for Paris. In fact, they've caught, you know, some folk plotting terrorist activity. Attacks planned for Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they carry that out. And what do we do? Well, we go do some more bombing. And then they come back. And it's a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm. What do we do?
Yeah, I mean, it's a vicious, it's like, listen, I'll say this. We're going to get to what do we do. But I wish that, you know, there are a lot of war protest songs written in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that Christians had written them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them might not be appropriate. Some of them might express a wrong thing here or there. But I'm talking about, in general, some of the more famous war protest songs. They should have been written by Christians, because Christians, above all else, should be against war.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about killing people. Am I a total pacifist? Well, no, I've made that clear. Is there a place for self-defense? Absolutely. But indiscriminate war, indiscriminate killing, revenge.
Right. But somehow Christians today don't seem to get how wrong it is. I don't understand. They don't
seem
to get it.
Well, I don't either. See, part of it goes to that emotional state we were talking about. Listen, here's what grieves me. And we'll get to your thing after the break. I've already decided. Mm-hmm. But here's what grieves me. All right, something happens, but Christians are unwilling to look at cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, am I going to sit here and say that terrorists have a right to do what they do? Absolutely not. That terrorists are not evil? I mean, let's don't be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course terrorists are evil. But there's cause and effect. Who was it the other day? John Kerry. Now, it was a slip of the tongue, and I don't even fault him. But he was talking about the difference between the attack at Charlie Hebdo, the place there in France, and they were, I don't know, putting out some kind of material where they were making fun of, I don't know, Muhammad or something. I don't remember the details. And he said, you know, there's a difference between that and what happened in Paris last Friday. You know, that was legitimate. Oh, but wait a minute. And then, you know, he caught himself. Not legitimate. It wasn't a legitimate mm-hmm. response to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
But what he meant was they had some grievances.
Mm.
And then what he said was, you know, last Friday, not the case. You just attacked innocent people.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't done anything. All right, well, look, on the one hand, that's true. But the terrorists weren't attacking those innocent people last Friday versus, you know, specifically, versus people at Charlie Hebdo when they attacked that. The terrorists were attacking France.
Mm.
And the reason they were attacking France is not because of the values that France holds, mm-hmm. even though Hollande said so, and mm-hmm. Obama and everybody else, and universal human values. We don't have universal human values with terrorists. We don't believe in killing people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a dumb statement to start with. Okay, but the reason they attacked France is because France, the French government, not the people sipping coffee, you know, or the people watching the soccer match. They attacked France because French government, foreign policy, like United States government, foreign policy, is dropping bombs on innocent men, women, and children in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, innocent? Well, yeah, we're dropping bombs on terrorists, but innocent people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, back in the 60s, who's going to stop the rain? They hit us, we hit them. Or we hit them first, they hit us. We hit them, they hit us. Back and forth. Who's going to stop the rain? Should be Christians. We'll be back in a minute.
Parents helping their kids by looking in their phones.
They have a right to pick up their phone and look in it. You know, I have a lot of parents that are like, well, that would be invasion of privacy. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's so you know what's going on, but even more so, let him know that you're doing that.
Join Vicki Piazzi of Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching next time on Licensed to Parent.
Licensed to Parent every Monday at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
Find everything you need, sir? You look lost.
Oh, it's just these decorations. On one side, you've got Thanksgiving. On the other, Christmas. And in the middle, a sign that says Happy Holidays.
And
I can't find Happy Holidays. Don't get me wrong. It's a nice display. But last year, I lost my job. And we lost our home.
Mm.
I know that feeling.
My kids have been so great about it, and my wife, oh, she's amazing.
Wives, gotta love them.
Yeah, but we just can't afford Thanksgiving or Christmas this year. Even had to ask our church friends for help.
What'd they say?
They said, no problem. Whatever I need.
I've got an idea. Reach in your pocket. How much have you got?
It's empty.
No, it's not. Reach in your pocket and count your blessings. You've got a wife, family, church, and friends. You can start with those. So, find everything you need?
Yes. Yes, I did. Thank you.
Wishing you a pocketful of blessings this season from Focus on the Family.
The reasons for it seemed right. I felt alone, scared, and pushed. Everyone thought it would be best. We were all wrong. It changed everything, then and now. If you carry this secret sorrow, Abortion Recovery Assistance at Piedmont Women's Center can help you find forgiveness and freedom in a small confidential Bible study group. Call 244-1434. We will listen and understand. I called, and I am changed forever.
Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to the Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archive broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
All right, Christy, here's part of what I'm thinking. Again, there's so much. We don't have time. Wish we had 3 hours. We don't. But you're out on Facebook.
Right.
I'm not. I'm like in a cave. You know, Herman's Hermits.
Well, sometimes it's better that way.
Yeah. better for the people of the world or better
no,
for me?
No, no, no. It's better,
better
for
if I'm in a cave.
No, not you. Not you personally, but people. Yeah. Some people are getting off Facebook because they're so tired of all the political posts that everyone's posting.
Yeah.
And so they're like, I'm getting off Facebook because I'm tired of it.
I know. Hey, if I had Facebook, I'd just never get any work done. That's the problem anyway. I'm a glutton for interacting with what's happening in the world. But you're on Facebook, mm-hmm. and a Christian, I don't know if we want to say any more about this person than that, but
right.
a Christian, and this person is a committed Christian because I have an acquaintance, anyway, there, and posted a picture of the atomic bomb, one of the atomic bombs, you know, the mushroom cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was one of the, you know, actual Nagasaki, Hiroshima, but anyway, mm-hmm. something. And there's a caption. What does
right.
it say?
Well, it's the picture of the atomic bomb, and you might have actually seen this on Facebook. He didn't post it himself. He shared it from
okay.
someone else who posted it, but it's out there on his Facebook. And it says, Japan has been at peace with the USA since September 2nd, 1945. And then it's got the picture of the bomb, and then it says, it's time we made peace with Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Basically implying it's time we go drop a bomb on Islam, which, first of all, Islam is not a country. It's a religion. So
right.
how do you drop a bomb on a religion? But I guess what they're saying is let's go drop a bomb on the Middle East.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Right.
Now, again, no political leader is suggesting that. But
right. Thank goodness.
This is out there, though, in
right.
the Christian community.
Right. It is.
And when you're talking about the Middle East, what are you talking about? Well, you're talking about Syria, Iraq, Iran, Libya.
Right.
You know, we could go on. But you're also talking about Israel.
Right.
And again, I'm not, you know, an arch supporter of Israel like a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a blind supporter of Israel. Let me put it that way.
Right.
Excuse me. I'm certainly not a supporter of Hezbollah.
Right.
You know, or anybody else who's wanting to launch rockets into Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the point. They launch rockets into Israel. Israel brutally attacks others, indiscriminately killing, collateral damage. Collateral damage, that's so easy for a Christian. It just rolls off the tongue. Collateral damage, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how about if somebody, you know, were targeting some terrorist in Greenville, South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
or Boise, Idaho, or, you know, Lilburn, Georgia, or wherever it is that you live, and, you know, they accidentally blew up your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And their body parts all over and dead people all over. I mean, it's not going to upset you. Oh, it's collateral damage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
See, nobody thinks that way if you start to talk about it, but they don't care about collateral damage on the other side of the world because it doesn't affect them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of our nationalistic See, this is where Christians are. Nationalism is as bad as racism.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are the best. You know what? I'm an American. I'm a proud American. It's all good. But listen. Anyway, nationalism and racism are twin brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Meaning I think I'm better because I'm an American. I don't think that, but some people do.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever we do is right. See, that's not true either. When I say we, I'm generally talking about our government. But obviously we support it. You know, you're the average Christian chanting, USA, USA, USA. Yeah, well, you know, wait till they drop a nuke over here. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'll just say this. If we don't stop the back and forth, it's going to escalate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to come a day, just like... When we listen, you don't remember this because you weren't even born, but we all thought the Ayatollah Khomeini back in the 70s was this evil, and he was. And we were all afraid, and the hostages and all of that. He looks like, I don't know, he's insignificant compared to, say, Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and where did Al-Qaeda come from? Well, Al-Qaeda came from our interventionism in the Middle East. And our policy of regime change. So you go in and somebody somewhere, we don't know who, we don't know why, decides, well, it's oil, I guess, but somebody somewhere decides this leader needs to go, just like today. Somebody decided Assad needed to go out of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do? Well, we begin arming moderates, so-called moderates in Syria. And what do? Well, they're happy to take over. They're happy to get rid of Assad. Why? Well, because they want to take over. They're thugs. And so we want to take over as well. Well, why are we not thugs? So we're arming the thugs, the moderate thugs. But this moderate group of thugs becomes ISIS. And ISIS makes Al-Qaeda, you know, look like a picnic.
Mm.
Well, here's my point. We keep going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We keep dropping bombs indiscriminately. We keep putting our boots on their so-called sacred soil. That's why they're killing us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because we dance. One French leader said, they kill us because we dance. You know, it's like Marco Rubio. They kill us because our women drive cars.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything more naive than that?
Mm-hmm.
They might hate the fact that we dance. But up until after 1990, they weren't coming over here attacking us. What happened in 1990? We put a lot more boots on the ground, 500,000 troops in the desert there, and pushed Saddam Hussein back to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
Kuwait there was no reason for us to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, am I defending the terror? No, I'm talking about how do you stop it.
Mm-hmm.
So we keep going back and forth. I haven't made my point yet. You're going to wake up one day, and it's going to be World War III, and then we're all going to be in a world of mm-hmm. trouble. See, I'm not scared as a Christian. Bomb hits me, I see Jesus. There's nothing better. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't want a bomb to drop on me. I don't want to go out to Outback Steakhouse one night or some fancy restaurant in downtown Greenville like Sobeys, and all of a sudden 8 men with machine guns come in and shoot up the place.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama, can you do something to stop that? And you don't stop that by dropping bombs over there in the Middle East. You're not going to defeat terrorism. You're not going to defeat ISIS like that. You're not going to do it. This is foolhardy. All right, I'm on this rant. I'm talking about Christians and our attitude. So anyway, he posts this picture
right
on Facebook, nuclear. So we're going to drop a nuclear bomb. Let me say one more thing. Does anybody really think that we want to drop a nuclear bomb somewhere? You want to talk about unleashing terror and horror?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just ridiculous. All right, so not only will it not work, not only are you talking about killing millions and millions of innocent people, not only are you talking about using the nuclear weapon again. You know, no other nation on the planet, by the way, has dropped a nuclear bomb over the United States. Does that mean I'm anti-American? No, but it does mean I'm anti-nuclear bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And any Christian minister who doesn't take the same position, in my estimation, and let's talk about it, call me, email me, pauljdeanjr@gmail.com. Please, I'm begging you, email me because I don't do Facebook. PaulJDeanJr@gmail.com. If you are for war and indiscriminate killing and indiscriminate bombing, you are unfaithful to Christ. Period. End of story. You don't understand the New Testament. You need to get out of the pulpit. I'm not kidding. All right. Now, I shouldn't be angry either. That's wrong. Forgive me. All right. Now, so what happens?
Okay. Do you want me to?
Yeah.
Okay. So I posted basically a little version of what you said. And then someone responded and said, it's a beautiful thing to love the lost and reach them with the gospel, even at the cost of our own lives. I believe that as much as anybody. But this translates really poorly into the political sector, and we have to acknowledge that. It can end up looking like radical pacifism. If we had tried to deal with the Nazi threat by sending over a few loving missionaries who would try to change their worldview, those individuals would have been noble and faithful to their likely deaths, and Nazis would rule the world. So the Nazis wanted more or less the same thing that ISIS does. And if we had to go pacifistic and let one of them take over, I think I'd rather the Nazis, actually. Not to be too harsh on genuine loving Christians or oversimplify the issue, but we can't look at the global political sphere at the same as we would on a personal level. So basically this person said that we can't fight ISIS with anything other than arms.
Well, that post, I'm assuming that's a young person that posted that, not that old people can't be incredibly ignorant and naive, and I say that lovingly because I'm sure that person's a Christian, and you know, anyway, I don't go down that road, so I'm not being ugly. There's some issues there. One is that, you know, the Nazis, they didn't have the same goal as ISIS. Well, they do, but in a much different way. The Nazism, organized army, organized country, and they are invading other countries. There's an army, and they're invading, right? That's a very different thing than, you know, ISIS over there, which in the beginning was a little group of religious fanatics that would have gained no traction had our bombing campaign not aided them to rise up out of the sand in force. And that's a whole other issue. We only got 30 seconds left. If Nazis are marching into Poland, Poland can defend itself. If Nazis have taken over Germany, then the Germans need to rise up and do something about it. And if we are, you know, legitimately pulled into a war, then we can defend ourselves. And here's the deal. We pushed the Nazis back. We defeated Nazi Germany. And Germany's a free place today. Well, it's not totally free, just like America's not totally free. But you see, there's a big difference. Obviously, we're running out of time. We can't deal with the whole thing. I'll talk about it on the next broadcast. Let's do a part two. But you see, there are major differences. And nobody suggests we just preach. Anyway, next
You've
time.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.